Nadav? Hello?
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, thank God. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Sam.
Was
Hey, how
the
are you?
material on that email as well? I've just got to find it.
Yeah. How did have you here, Gideon?
Yeah, last
Looking
week
fresh.
I was busy preparing a video for my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. So
Oh, Mazel Tov. Wow, 50.
yeah,
50th wedding.
was very nice. So we all
You've
went
done
down.
by all of us, eh?
Yeah, we all went down to where they live, and they've got this large garden as part of the flat complex. And the weather was pretty miserable, so everyone had their umbrellas and whatever, but we were still able to send it. Everyone had their champagne. And,
British event then.
yeah, it was good. Is there a handout? I can't seem to find it.
There was one on the email. What I'll do. Let me upload it quickly and send out the link.
Looks like you said see the attached, but I don't s oh, there, okay. Balasacha, yeah, got it.
Brilliant. Hello, Rabbi.
Hi, Richard, how are you? Good to see you again.
Baruch Hashem. Exhausted, thank you. How are you?
You're pleased it's the end of the week.
Baruch, I wish it was already the end of the week.
Don't wish your life away.
No, I just wish the day away. How's everyone?
Great.
Robert,
How are you doing? Robert Schneiderman or Juliet, maybe, masquerading as
sounded
Robert.
like Robert.
Oh, it's Robert. Amazing.
How are you?
Good, thank God. Lovely to see you.
Nice to see you. And I think Howard's going to join as well.
Oh, lovely. Oh, that's so nice. Good.
So,
Joining us
yeah.
all the way from Hendon.
I thought I'd come. I thought I'd do it without the videos. Didn't want to scare
Oh,
people.
you can do. Don't worry. Don't worry. Carry on as you were doing. I'm just going to put my headphones in so I can hear a little bit better. Okay.
It's
So,
early days,
yeah,
yeah.
this is Gilad's bar mitzvah portion a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right. And Daniels, is that right?
Yeah, this is Daniel's bar mitzvah portion 3 years ago.
Yeah. Wow,
Yeah.
Gilad's Oates was already a year ago.
Yeah.
Such a shame. I'm sure Daniel and Gilad would have lained it this Shabbos if it weren't for COVID.
I think we might need some serious pipes.
Well, let's just give them the benefit of the doubt a little
I
bit.
was.
Hold on a second.
That's a long one this week, Rabbi the Sheet.
I know I've got to get going, but I'm just trying to upload it. There we
Oh
go.
my gosh.
Don't worry, don't worry. We're very advanced, got the advanced type machine.
Just printing.
Wondered what that noise was.
Copy. Right, I'm going to put the link in the chat. If anyone needs to, then use that link and you will be able to get these sheets so you'll know what's going on. Okay, there is a lot going on in the in this week's parasha of Baha'u'llah. I just picked one of the things, and this is something that the Or HaChaim picks up on, and is actually a really, really important principle, which comes up time and again in specifically in actually the Musa Sfarim. So some of you might have seen there's a whole kind of world really of Sfarim. There's different areas of Torah really. So you've got the area, for example, of Halacha, which deals with Jewish law. You've got the area of drushas, which are kind of like, I suppose, the type of inspiring things that you hear on Shabbos. And then there's Gemara, there's Mishnah, And then there's the area of Musa Svarim, so things like the Masilas Yesharim, for example, Orcha Sadikim, you know, Svarim which just work and focus on character. They focus on ethics, on the right character. And you study them in yeshiva, you normally have a Musa Seder. Most yeshivas, every single day, you learn half an hour of these Svarim, because obviously if you're not developing your character at the same time as you're learning, then, you know, what are you doing, right? The whole point is that you're both developing character at the same time as you're developing your knowledge of, you know, of Judaism as well. Hi, Nicholas. If you want, then you can click on the chat. There's a sheet to download and you'll have the source sheet. This really is one of the places in which one of the great Musa ideas, one of the principles of Musa, is found in the Torah. Let's have a look. So what it's discussing here is one of the arguments that take place. Just click on the link in the chat to download the source sheet.
I can't see a link.
Oh, maybe because you weren't there. Just 1 second.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Brilliant. Nice to have you here. Okay. So the one of the arguments that takes place, there's two that take place in this week's parasha, really. And the second one is the one that we're dealing with here, where it says that the people, it says, this is not yet on the sheet. It says that the gathering amongst the Jewish people. So Rashi says this was the era of those people that came onto the Jewish people from Egypt, from the Egyptians. His avu ta'ava. They had a ta'ava. That's going to be an important word. Ta'ava or ta'iva, as it's the more Jewish way of saying it. And that means a desire, basically. His avu ta'ava. They had this overwhelming desire. They begin crying to Moshe. And they say, who's going to first meet? They say, we remember the fish that we had in Egypt. They talk about cucumbers and watermelon and onions, garlic, various things, lots of things. All these things that we had in Egypt, and all we get now is mon. We don't get anything else except mon. Okay? There's a lot to be said about that, kind of Jeff, the simple explanation, they want food, they want meat, they want different types of food. Okay? Now, Hashem says to them, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it to you. But basically, I'm going to give it to you till it's coming out of your ears, right? Which is what happens. And he instructs Moshe to gather 70 people together. And before he gives it to them, Moshe says to him the following, which is on your sheet. A fascinating exchange here between Moshe and Hashem. Moshe. And Moshe said, Sheishmeus elef ragli ha'om. There's 600,000 people, Asher Anochi Bekirbo, of this nation which I am amongst them. Va'ata omarta, bosa etein lahem. And you say to them, I'll give them meat, va'ochlu chodesh yomim, and they'll eat for a whole month. So Moshe is talking to God, right? He's talking to Hashem. Hashem has said, don't worry, I'm going to work it out, I'm going to give them meat. And Moshe says, there's 600,000 people, how are you going to give them all meat? Hatzonu baka yishachet lahem, umotza lahem. Are you going to find enough cattle? Sheep and cattle to slaughter. It's called the gay hayom ye or safe lohem umotzalohem. If you gathered, you caught all of the fish in all of the seas, would that be enough for them? So he says Hashem, Vayoma Hashem el Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Hayad Hashem tiktzar. Is there a limit to Hashem, to my power? Atosira hayik chodvarim loy. Now you're going to see if my word happens or not.
So this whole interchange seems bizarre in the extreme. Moshe, who's witnessed all of the plagues, that's all happened, right? They're out, is going to turn around to God and say, you can't give them enough food. And actually, this right. thing out of the ears, are you saying God didn't promise that? It almost sounds like because Moshe said this, God's now having to sort of step it up and make it so that they're going to have so much meat, they're going to be sick of it.
No, God's already promised to do that. God's already said that's what he's going to do. Moshe is now questioning, seemingly, his ability. Right? He's saying to God, how are you going to do this? There's too many people. You're going to need too many, fish. It doesn't make any sense. You're going to do this. But you're right. The question is crazy. I mean, it doesn't make sense that Moshe, of all people, who's been up there for 40 days and 40 nights, you know, is going to come down and now question God's ability to do miracles.
Hayley, and then further, it doesn't seem like he's punished for it at all. Like his audacity.
Right. Right. Excellent. Excellent point. The Rashi, actually, Rashi quoting a Midrash says, why is he not punished for saying this? He's punished when he says to the Jewish people, listen, you rebels, Shimon HaMorim. According to one opinion, the reason he's not let into the land of Israel is because he calls the Jewish people rebellious. He doesn't speak respectfully towards the Jewish people. Yet, over here, we don't find he's punished for this. And asks the Midrash, says, how could it be that he's not punished for this? Yep, excellent question. So let's see, the Or HaChaim gives two explanations. Everybody speaks about this. So everyone on the page, every commentary, you know, says something about this. But as is our the general way of doing things in this year, we're going to focus on the Or HaChaim's explanation, in which he gives two. So let's have a look in the source sheet, Or HaChaim. He quotes the pasuk firstly, and then he says the following. Nifla'u mimeni, I'm going to read in the Hebrew. Please feel free to read along in the English or Hebrew, whichever is more comfortable. Nifla'u mimeni advarim, mimi she'om. These words are incredible that they could be said by Moshe. She'ein nochon le'ome kazeh afilu me'odom, it would not be correct, even a person who'd never heard of God in his life, to say this. And how much more so for the person who is so close to God. And some of them, some of our sages, considered this to be a sin. And some say, etc. Bishvil Basa. Some say that he wasn't. That's one explanation was that he wasn't actually speaking against God, but rather he was speaking about the fact that the children of Israel were going to die. Hashem says, "I'm going to give you meat," etc. And he was worried. He was concerned. Therefore, how could it be that they're going to die because they requested meat? He was sort of questioning what Hashem would do. But let's continue. I don't want to focus on that one. Hadrosha tidarish. Aval al kol ponim. But nevertheless, we have to just explain as the simple meaning of these psukim. Hi, Howard. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Welcome.
Thank you.
Good. Good to see you again.
Don't let me interrupt you.
Good.
Please.
No problem. If you want to download a source sheet, then have a look in
the chat. I've got it.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I've got it already.
Okay, we're in the first paragraph of the Or HaChaim. So, O Tzorich Ladas, Lama Chaza Loma Dvarim HaNe'emarim Va'ata Amarta Basa Etein. Why did he repeat, right? In Moshe's question, when Moshe questions Hashem, he says to the 600,000 people, and you said you're going to give them basa. Why did he have to repeat, you said you're going to give them meat? Hashem said you're going to give them meat, so why does he repeat that? O Tzorich Ladas, and also you have to know, Matamiya Hizos, Hatzonu Baka, etc. What is he so surprised about the amount of sheep and cattle. Gamban lo nes, even without a miracle, yesh lehem mikne lizon mimenu chodesh yomim. They've got enough cattle to last for a month. You don't need a miracle. A mikramoli deber akosav. We already told in Shemos, v'gam erev rav, ola imahem v'tzoyn ubaka. They took with them many cattle and sheep when they left Egypt. So the Jewish people have got enough cattle, right? When they were left, they left with all these provisions for them.
The fish is also, I mean, they're in the middle of a desert, aren't they? So the whole concept of fish in the ocean seems odd here.
Yes, correct. Fish, they wouldn't have been able to, they didn't have, yeah. But cattle, at least, why does Moshe ask, Hatzonu Baka, Yishach, are you going to have enough cattle? He says they had enough cattle, they took cattle with them from Egypt. Why does he exaggerate so much that you need to kill all the fish in the sea? That you need to kill all the fish in the sea for a month. Everyone in the world eats fish, which are many, many more times larger numbers of people than 600,000 Shahayu Yisrael that the Jewish people had, right? So therefore, why is Moshe exaggerating so much? Okay, so firstly, the meat they've got, he says, is not a problem, really. And in terms of the fish as well, he says, why does Hashem say that there's going to be 600, you need so many fish for 600,000 people? Okay, let's have a look. I want to go to the second answer first, okay, just to keep things exciting. So on the second page now, on the second paragraph, is an interesting concept that he brings, but not the focus of what I want to say. V'derech sheni, he says, he's going to be two explanations. This is his second explanation. V'derech sheni, al pi divrei mzal. The second explanation is, according to what our sages said, she'omru, they said, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ose Neis LaSheker. Hashem does not do a miracle in order to deceive people. LaSheker, for falsehood. And because Hashem said to him, that they're going to eat the meat and it's going to be like a sword, meaning they're actually going to die by eating this meat, which is what happens. And Hashem says to them, there's going to be so much meat. They've asked for meat, so I'm going to give them so much till it's sort of coming out of their ears. But Beirish Rashi, Hashem said it's going to be like a zara, which is like a sword. In Cain.
Was it the heir of Rav that asked? Because we're talking about 600,000. I actually wasn't even sure that the heir of Rav were counted in the 600,000. So how, you know, it seems odd that it's the heir of Rav that are asking, which was a small group of people, and now it's the 600,000, which were the actual B'nai Israel that seem to be getting punished.
Yeah, good point. It says the 600,000. They weren't all punished, that's for sure. Moshe, the question is again on Moshe. It's part of this kind of exaggeration of Moshe, isn't it? Why is he talking about 600,000? 100,000 that the Heir of Rav had asked for this extra, for this meat. Yeah? So let's see. That I think that will be answered by his answer. He says, in Cain, Lo al hanes medaber hakosav ela sheyochlu mibosa hanimtza. Valetima, she'ein nimtza lehem le'echol Tomah, she'ein nimtza lehem le'echol shloshim yo. Meaning Hashem doesn't do a miracle in order to deceive people. And therefore, but actually, Hashem didn't mean that he's going to do a miracle for the Jewish people and bring magical meat into the world, but rather they're going to eat the ones that they have. Come on, that he asks. She'inim talem le'chol shloshim yom, they don't have enough for 30 days. Umam abasa etelem shenir shi'itu mechadosh peyushu shi'itanim shu'it aloi. And it meant that he was going to give them permission to eat it. Umama imes kol degei ayam peyush. They had fish from the well, you know, the well of Miriam that used to travel along with them into the around the desert. So he says that they actually had fish. Avalohay olehem is stapkus afilu liyom echad b'chodesh. They didn't have enough even for one day of, and therefore, okay, we're going to stop there. And therefore, so Moshe says what he's asking from Hashem is he knows that Hashem isn't going to do a miracle. Because a very important principle, the Aruch Chaim says that Hashem doesn't do miracles for bad things. He doesn't do miracles to deceive the Jewish people. Every miracle that happens is only in order to help the Jewish people, is only to do good. There's this overriding principle. And since there's this overriding principle, therefore when Hashem says that the Jewish people are going to eat so much meat until it actually kills them, then Moshe knows that obviously God is not going to do a miracle. Once he knows God is not going to do a miracle because it's going to be bad for the Jewish people, so now he's got valid questions. Had Sonabaka Yushachelam, where are they going to find enough cattle and sheep? How are they going to find all these fish that you're talking about? How are they going to manage to do this? Right? So therefore the question is not, can you do a miracle, God? But rather it's because I know you're not going to do a miracle, so therefore, where do you expect the people are going to get all this meat from, fish from, without a miracle? Okay? So that's answer number one.
Did God speak about the fish or only Moshe? I thought God only spoke about the meat.
God speaks about the meat. Let me see if he mentioned the people asked for fish as well. But Hashem doesn't say specifically anything about the fish. It could be that he's Moshe saying in the same way you've said you're going to give them meat, so you're also going to give them fish.
What about the idea of Gamzu L'Tova? Was it a known concept back in those days?
How would that apply?
I suppose what I'm trying to say is, it's like having that trust and knowing that whatever God does is for the best. So it's kind of, I kind of lost track of what the second half of what I was going to say.
No, I understand. Yeah, I mean, you're asking, from what I understood, I think you're asking a classic question, excellent question, which is, Jewish people are here in the desert, surely they should believe that if we don't have meat and we have this instead, whatever it is, Gamzu L'Tova, you know, that's for the good, right? That's what God wants us to have, and we should go and we should trust that this is for the best.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant?
That's exactly what I meant.
Right. Right, excellent question. So Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch asks this, and he says, it's an incredible thing that the Jewish people leave Egypt, there's the 10 plagues, the splitting of the sea, and then suddenly you find them moaning. Like he says, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I understood if I moan and you moan, you know, we didn't see those miracles and that sort of thing. So it's harder for us to see God's hand in our lives. But the Jewish people, they saw all these miracles. And the thing that he says is amazing is he says that human nature overrides all of our knowledge. You can have all of the knowledge of God in the world. You saw the miracles, you saw the plagues, the splitting of the sea and everything else. When you are starving, when you are physically hungry, then it's so, so difficult to overcome that. So the Jewish people in the desert, when they come to these times where either they really are hungry or they perceive that they're hungry, you know, they convince themselves that they're lacking or that they're hungry, then to overcome that is a whole nother level. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if it doesn't filter down to your stomach, you know, if it doesn't filter down, then when push comes to shove, then you're going to fail that challenge. And remember, the Jewish people, they come out of Egypt so quickly that they don't have time to internalize all of that knowledge. So the knowledge is in their heads, but it doesn't yet travel down. And that's the really what goes on during the desert. That's the whole purpose of the 40 years in the desert. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, so let's get to the first answer, because the first answer of the Or HaChaim is really, really the focus, and this is the classic Musa concept. So have a look back on the bottom paragraph. The English is on the second sheet. He says the following: Achen Yisyashra Ksuvim Beis Drachim. We explain the Psukim in two ways, and Ha'echad, this is the first way. Again, the question is, what's Moshe questioning God? Hashem says, I'll give you all of this and I'll give enough for all the people to eat and more. And Moshe says, hey, you can't do that. What does he mean? Ha'echad, the first thing, Hashem elav, when Hashem says, Dim shi'itin lehem bosasam, he says, I'll give them meat. Haven Moshe. Moshe understood mashmas advarim, the simple meaning of the words, ki min echad shel bosa, yitain, that Hashem was going to give them one type of meat. He was going to choose. I don't know if it was going to be steak, if it was going to be roast beef, or it was going to be, you know, whatever it was going to be one type of meat. I'm laughing.
Not even chicken or beef on the plane.
Not chicken. Chicken's not real meat. No. I'm laughing because Tehillah went round to my parents-in-law, the sister's birthday, she went round to my parents-in-law, and she came back and she said, Shem made so much meat. So she starts listing all these types of meat. So I said to her, but you just ate pizza before you left. She doesn't mind me sharing this. So she looked at me and smiled. She says to me, there's always room for a steak. So I thought that's a real South African saying. Well,
there's always room for her mum's chocolate mousse.
That as well. So Moshe says to he understood Hashem's going to give the one type of meat. He says to Hashem, Sheshmius Elef, etc. Perush, a minion Rav Kazeh, Yimtzabayim Deus Shonus. You're going to find all different opinions among 600,000 people. You're going to find everyone's got a different opinion. Zeyachbot's Bosot Sain, this one is going to want lamb. Zeyachbot's Boko, this one's going to want beef. Zey Ayalut Svi, this one's going to want a mountain goat or a deer. Zey Ophus. And some of them are going to want fowl, they're going to want birds, poultry, v'zeh dogim, and this one's going to want fish. V'ata omarta bosa etein lohem, and you say, oh, I'll give them meat, mashma, et mashma min bosa echad, one type of meat. Mahi abosa shetitein, what type of meat are you going to give them? Hatzonu baka, etc. Umotza lohem, peum koshom. He doesn't mean you, God, won't be able to give it to them. He means hatzonu baka, even if you shecht for them lamb and beef, umot salahem, are they going to be satisfied? You're never going to be able to satisfy them, he says. Not because you can't do a miracle and because you can't animals and fish, etc., as much as they need. Because the problem is with them. Im es kol degei perush, mine dogim, etc., umot salahem. If you give them all the fish in the world and all the types of fish in the world, umot salahem, perush mevukasham, are you really going to satisfy them? When you give them sheep and lamb and you give them beef, yomru, then they'll say, they'll say, no, we want deer, we want goat and isle. When you give them the deer, then we'll say we want the poultry. When you give them poultry, then they'll say that we want the fish. Meaning, however much...
This answer definitely takes Moshe's response out of the category of sin. This becomes like a...
Correct. That was our whole question, right? Our whole question was that how can it be the motion is whether God's got the ability to do a miracle. Of course God's got the ability. He knows he's got the... The answer is he wasn't questioning God's ability. He's saying that, look at the people, once they start on this journey of desiring and of you know, just physical desire, you're never going to be able to satisfy them. Giving them what they want is not going to satisfy them. Never going to be the end.
The whole point is that Moshe incorrectly assumed something. He assumed that Hashem was going to only give one type of meat. Where does that point of assumption come from?
From the words that Hashem says, which is basar etein lahem, which means meat, basically. So assumes
that. But not one type of meat. Could be plural.
It could be, but normally that's what it would mean, right? Okay. Normally that's what it would mean, right? But I think, well, let's carry on. Let's see if he addresses that. Let's see if he addresses that. But Omar, and he says, sorry, we're at the top of the second page. For Rosha base Kitsavos Habasa Sonavaka, he does Moshe list the two extremes with meat. So and the other extreme, which is fish. It's interesting. Those are the, you know, in terms of your sort of culinary delights. On the one hand, you've got lamb and you've got beef. And then the other extreme is you've got the fish, you know, the people who like fish. So you've got those are the two extremes. Dagasim Tsaim and the middle levels. And then you can understand you've got everything in between there. You've got your meat eaters and your fish eaters, and you've got everything else in between. V'omar, and he says, Kol Perish, Shiloh Yoel Dogim, Elim Yavi Kol Mine Dogim Shebiyam. Unless you bring, it's not going to help. Bringing one, you've got to bring every single type of fish. Shezula ze'amin. If you don't have this type, hachosa, there's you're lacking one type of fish. Yivku alav. Then they'll still cry about that. Nimtza zoma. So you find she'ika hafla also ha'isa that the real surprise question of Moshe ha'isa letzad she'evim edivrei Hashem, because he understood that Hashem was only going to give them one type of meat. But for sure, if Hashem would have said, I'm going to give you every single type of meat, then he wouldn't have been surprised. And this would answer all of the diktukim, all of the questions that we had on the... Yeah?
But then, if Hashem knows the thoughts and the hearts of all men, then why does he go on to say to Moshe, is there a limit to the Lord's power? You shall soon see what we have said happens to you or not. Like, it seems like he also thinks Moshe is like questioning his ability.
So what's the answer? Okay, good. So you're asking, according to this explanation of Moshe's question, so how do we understand the answer, yeah?
Well, no, how do you understand then what Hashem says next to Moshe?
Yeah, sorry, Hashem's answer, yeah. Hashem's reply, yes, to Moshe. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't understand. Yeah. That's the next Orachaim. I didn't want to put too much on the sheet, even more than this on the sheet. The next Orachaim, when he goes in the next pasuk, he says, there's two explanations of this. And he said, Hashem tells him that he can give a type of meat which will miraculously fulfill their taiva, their desire. Meaning, you're right, according to normal way people work, human beings work, you wouldn't be able to fulfill it with one type of meat. But because I'm Hashem, I can do it, I can give them one type of meat, and then that will their desire.
It reminds me of the magical thing called mun, does the same thing.
So, yes. Yes, yeah. I mean, the question is, why were they not satisfied with the mon in the first place, right? Because the mon was, you could taste of anything, right? So the Jewish people complain that it doesn't look the same. They're confused with the mon, not that it doesn't taste good, but that they're not happy because it doesn't look good. So therefore, over here, what Hashem is solving at a simple level, right? What Hashem is doing is he's giving us the meat, and it looks like meat. But at the same time, which type of meat? So that, don't worry, I'm going to solve that one as well. I'm gonna be able to. So that's what he means. Hayad Hashem tiktsar. I may do that as well, right? That's what he says to Moshe. So in fact, it comes that Moshe was right in his assumption that there was only one type of meat. Hashem gives him one type of meat in the end, but it's the one type of meat which he says will satisfy. Yeah.
But that's a miracle.
Yes. According to this answer, it seems that Aruch Chaim say that Hashem would do a miracle, even though the miracle is to the detriment of the Jewish people. Yeah, that's interesting. So I haven't done this, but it would be interesting to look up the Gemara, that said that Hashem doesn't do a neis l'sheker in order to deceive people, and see if there's another opinion there, you know, that he's going with. But it seems to be that that would be, you know, that's really the main difference between these two answers. Yeah, whether we say that Hashem will only do a miracle for good or no, and even do a miracle, even if it's not for the good of the Jewish people. Yeah. But what's, I think, the focus here in terms of the Musa lesson, the ethical lesson, which you see here, is what taiva means. Having a desire and following that taiva, following that desire. What happens? The Jewish ask for something, which ostensibly is a request. They want meat. Moshe says to Hashem, whatever you give them, they're not going to be satisfied. If you give them one type of meat, they'll request the other one. If you give them this type, they'll request the other one. Because the problem is not really the thing that they want. The problem is within themselves. It's not about the thing that they want. Like Chazal say, Yesh lo moneh rotzim osayim. If a person has 100, he wants 200. As soon as living a life where the focus is the physical possessions, which is what taiva is, desire for those physical possessions, as soon as that is our goal, we will be satisfied. You can never give the person something which satisfies, because in fact, it's nothing to do with the item. It's all to do with the desire, the drive. And that desire will go from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. It will only become bigger and bigger and bigger. The Musa Sfarim talk about this in a number of places. But just to give you an idea, this is the Masilas Yesharim, classic Musa work. Written about 100 years ago or so by the Ramchal Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. I highly, highly recommend it. Rabbi Twersky has a translation and an explanation, which is called Lights Alay. Masilas Yesharim means a path for the just. So his explanation is called Lights Along the Way, meaning he goes along the path and he illuminates the path. he says the following thing. So what the Masilas Yesharim does is he splits up, he follows an order given in the Gemara, which takes you, it's really that can accompany a person all the way from the beginning, from the basics of our obligation in this world. He starts off by just simply saying, why are we Jewish? What are we alive for? What are we trying to achieve as Jewish people in this world? And he starts up at that rung, if you like, of the ladder, and goes all the way up until he gets to the final rung of the ladder, which is holiness, kedusha, achieving holiness. He goes to all the different levels. Now, the second level is called Zrizus. Zrizus is basically doing mitzvahs with alacrity, having a cheshek, a desire for mitzvahs. You know, a person wants to do the right thing, wants to do mitzvahs. And he says there are certain things that detract from that. So this is the ninth perek of the Sefer, this ninth chapter. He says the following thing. He says, the greatest thing, the greatest thing that detracts from us doing mitzvahs, the bakoshes hamenucha hagufis, is when we seek relaxation, we seek to just chill. The sinas hatorach, and we hate troubling ourselves. We don't like putting in effort. The ahavas ha'idunim, and love of pleasures, physical pleasures, betashlim koltsin ha'ehem, with all of everything, all of their conditions fulfilled, meaning the ultimate pleasure, all the different levels of human pleasure. He and Adam Kazer, a person like this, then the avodas Hashem is so heavy, becomes so difficult. Somebody wants to eat in a relaxed volition, he wants to sleep when it's comfortable for him without being disturbed, and he wants to walk at the pace that he's accustomed to walk at, etc. It says, Yeksha Lavla Hashkin Labati Ganesius Baboike. How is he going to get up for shul in the morning? Something nowadays we've had an easy time getting up. Obviously, don't do dafyomi early in the morning, Richard, right? That if a person is just looking for a relaxed life, then how is he going to wake up for shul in the morning? Or to cut short his meal, so that he can daven mincha. Or to go out to do a mitzvah, when there's a mitzvah that needs to be done, and do something which is good for him. He wants to eat, he wants to relax, he wants to chill, he wants to have fun, and he's got a mitzvah to do. Then how is he going to go do that? Or, God forbid, for him to rush himself to do a mitzvah or the Talmud Torah, or to go and learn Torah. Someone who gets used to, accustomed to this way of life, he's not actually a ruler over himself. He's not in charge of life. To do the opposite when he would like to. He becomes imprisoned to that which he's used to doing, which becomes his second nature. So it says in Mesillas Yesharim that the person, which as the Chumash says, as Moshe says, Moshe says to Hashem, you're never going to be able to fulfill their taiva. You're never, whatever it is, you're not going to be able to give them what they want, because it's not about what they want. It's about their way of life. It's about their desire, their tav. And as long as they're going in this way, then they're never going to be satisfied. And says the Mesillas Yesharim, the latest thing that takes us away from Avodas Hashem, from doing mitzvahs, from learning Torah, from doing all of our things and obligations, because when we want to follow desires, that takes us, how are we going to do that mitzvah? How are we going to do that learning? How are we going to do that thing? We have to exert ourselves. And unfortunately, he says, we can become imprisoned in this second nature, as he calls it, and therefore only having this tava, only having this desire. Rav Leuchter, one of my teachers, said to me that this is the place in the Torah, any place where that topic appears. His avu tava, remember those words that it began with? This complaint of the Jewish people begins with the fact that they had a desire. It all started with a desire. It wasn't coming from a real lack, it was coming from their tava, from their desire. Now, just to be 100% clear, but and I'm sure this is clear, but to be 100% clear, we're not saying that a person in Judaism should be an ascetic and should not have anything and shouldn't enjoy himself and shouldn't have pleasure in life, and that's something, God forbid, as all of you know, you've all had enough experience to know that that's not true. But the key here is balance. The key here is balance, and the key is focus. And the key is, what is the primary focus and what is the secondary focus? And then that will rule what we prioritize in our life. Questions?
Yeah, I'm still bothered by Haley's question, actually. According to the explanation that we're saying, which is that really when Moshe's speaking, he's not trying to be rude to Hashem. He's trying to explain the idea you've just said, that when you're trying to satisfy an inner deficiency in yourself, then doesn't matter what you give, it's never going to be enough. You know, if you want lamb, you want steak. If you want steak, you want fish, whatever it is. So then, if that's the answer we're giving here, I get Haley's question. I don't get the answer, because Hashem's answering quite strongly, and it seems to be like a different... So I don't get that. Can you help square that circle, please?
So I think what he's saying is that although Moshe is right, according to the normal way of the world, you wouldn't be able to do that. Hashem is capable of even doing that. So it's like, for example, in Shemitah, when the Torah promises the Jewish people a reward, there's two types of reward in Parshas Bahar that are promised. One reward that's promised, Rashi says both of them. One type of reward that's promised is that you'll get a bumper crop, and because you'll have a bumper crop, so therefore you'll have loads to eat. And the other type that is promised is you won't have a lot of food, be satisfied from having a little amount, right? So there's two ways of doing a miracle. The miracle is that we can just give you everything, you know, that you need. Or the miracle is that you can actually be satisfied with less. That's also a miracle, but it's a very different type of miracle. If you like, a more psychological, you know, type of miracle, right? So so Moshe was saying to him, you're never gonna be able to satisfy them. And Hashem saying to them, this is my understanding of the Aruch Chaim at least. Hashem said, no, I'm gonna give them one type of meat, and the miracle is gonna be that they'll be satisfied with that one type of meat, because it will taste of everything. That's gonna be the miracle.
Okay, so So leaving aside the question of how can we do the miracle if it's going to be harmful, but actually this whole question of harm seems to be bizarre. If God's answer is, even though each and every one of the 600,000 has got their own particular desire, and I'm going to make a miracle to satisfy all of them, that seems like a really weird way to kill people. If that's what we're trying to do, you're giving them this meat, we're going to fulfill all your desire, and then you, like, the whole thing just seems crazy.
I understand. Yeah, no, it's a good point. Then why
it does seem like the reaction of somebody really angry, like, I'm going to do, you want it, I'm going to give it to you until it kills you, like, and that's not compassionate and certainly shouldn't be linked to a miracle in my view.
I understand. Firstly, the Orach Chaim, the Gemara that he quotes, is a miracle of sheker. It's not done to deceive, falsehood, that's the problem, rather than actually doing a miracle to the detriment of the Jewish people. So it could be that doing a miracle, even when it's not good for the Jewish people, that can happen. But doing something which is l'sheker, just to deceive them, that's the problem. Doing something which is deceitful, as it were, and maybe, I suppose, Hashem is not doing anything which is deceitful here, because at the end of the day, they asked for this meat, and according to this explanation, Hashem's giving it to them, and he's satisfying them because it's going to be everything, etc. So it could be that it's not deceitful. You're right, the whole concept of Hashem giving them meat and then them eating until they're like, until it sort of comes out and they die while they're eating is not pleasant at all. Not pleasant at all. The reality is that it's, firstly, you have to remember that it's only a small number. Often when we read these things in terms like the entire Jewish people, this is happening to everyone, but it's not. It's happening to this small number of, like we said at the beginning, the Erev Rav that it's happening to, number one. And number two, I haven't actually looked at what the commentaries say on this, but I'm just, you know, kind of sort of off the top of my head. This is the type of thing which I suppose where Hashem's teaching them a lesson for all future generations. Hashem's saying to them, like, look, this is where it's going to end. If you lead a life where it's taiva, 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 where you're just following your desires and following what you want, then it will kill you itself. Nothing to do with God, nothing to do with me. And you look around us in the world, the excesses that people have that kills them. It doesn't, you know, sadly, you see it all the time. People's own excesses, looking for excess pleasure. Is you know what kills them in the end. So maybe Hashem's trying to teach them that lesson.
And we are to understand that this is the Erev Rav that's instigated this. Because I had thought that the Erev Rav instigated the golden calf, and the instigators were dead. So how have we still got Erev Rav left?
I don't think it was all of the Erev Rav. It wasn't all of the Erev Rav. There was about 1,000 people who were killed after the golden calf, if I remember rightly. It wasn't that many people, so I don't think it was all of the Erev Rav. Could be they weren't all involved.
Was it this set of complaints that then stopped them from entering Eretz Israel? Was this part of it?
No, interestingly enough. Interestingly enough, it wasn't. It was only the Meraglim, it was only the sin of the sin comes a bit later that stops them entering Israel. Which is an interesting point. And again, that could be because it wasn't the entire people. We'll have to see when we get to the miracle. But because it was this Erev Rav, it was this small section of the people. So although we speak about it, it's very prominent, but it wasn't the entire people. That could be the reason.
David Rapson gave an interesting share with the reverse nuns, the sort of parentheses which happens in this parsha. And his explanation, or part of the explanation, was why was this here, was basically because that was reflecting, that point was reflecting the point up until which, had the Bnei Israel not done another mistake, they could have gone straight into Israel. It was, so up until now, everything they've done was forgivable.
Right.
Only after they did the next thing, which were the spies, that's it. That was one step too far, and they were now not able to go to Israel.
Interesting.
So maybe it's like an accumulation of complaints.
Yeah. Okay, I have got to get going as well. Have a very good Shabbos. Shabbat shalom. Lovely to see everyone. Look after yourselves.
Shabbat shalom. Well, bye.
Keep well. Take care.